We're continuing our Out of Egypt series, and we've been looking at the Ten Commandments, and it's been an interesting journey through as we've gone along through these Ten Commandments. This evening, take the name, but not in vain, in Exodus 20, verse 7. This is the verse we're looking at this evening. Do not misuse my name. I am the Lord your God, and I will punish anyone. I will punish anyone who misuses my name. The declaration of God's name. You know, one of the God's most beautiful gifts to mankind is the gift of language. You know, the ability to speak. It's one of the many things that distinguishes men from animals, with the exception, of course, of the amazing Mr. Ed. Is anybody left alive that ever watched Mr. Ed on TV? Yeah, okay. Boy, he was good. He was really good. That was a smart horse. But it's true with every good gift that God has given to man, sin has found a way to abuse it and to misuse it. You know, music, you know, it's a gift from God, but it can be used for good or for evil. Sex, it's another gift from above. It's beautiful within its bounds, but it's been twisted in such evil ways that it is hard for people to see the way and the boundaries in which God had given that. The internet. You know, Al Gore invented this, so I heard. Seriously, you know, it's a powerful tool for good, and yet wickedness makes its home there as well. You know, what a web we weave. You know, and here's some chapters about how speech can be misused. For instance, in Proverbs 25, the chapter is dedicated to backbiting. Proverbs, the 11th chapter, the whole chapter is dedicated to the topic of gossip. Proverbs 31 is dedicated to the slander. Proverbs 16, it is dedicated to evil whispering. And later in the Ten Commandments, we'll talk about lying and bearing false witness. And as bad as these things are, there is a sin that is committed with the tongue that is far worse than any of the above, and that is using Yahweh's name in vain. I'm talking about using God's name in a blasphemous way and attaching a D-A-M-N to it. You know, the name of the Lord is sacred. It's a holy name. At that name, angels bow. You know, the name of Trump may open doors to finance, and Einstein may open doors to brilliance, and Michelangelo may open doors to art, but the name of the Lord will open the doors of the kingdom. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, we honor the names of military generals like MacArthur and Patton and Schwarzkopf and others, and we honor spiritual leaders. But how much more should we honor the name of the Almighty God? Psalm 8:1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Psalm 25:11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Psalm 111:9 says, holy and reverend is his name. We need to be reminded of the mindset of the Orthodox Jew in Bible days concerning the name of Yahweh, as well as many translators for centuries A.D., you know, before the invention of the printing press. When these scribes would copy the Word of God, every time that they would encounter the name of Yahweh, they would rise from their table. They would go and wash and often change clothes, and they'd pick up a new quill that had never been used before, and then they would proceed to write the name of Yahweh. This they would do every time, and sometimes it might be three times in a verse. And that's how respected and revered the name of Yahweh used to be. And what a terrible thing it is to ever drag his beautiful name through the mire. No, names are very significant. The Bible says that a good name is better than riches, than great riches. In fact, it says. And let me rattle off some names here. And you call out the first characteristic that you think of when you see these names. Judas. What characteristic do you think of when you see Judas? Traitor. How about Thomas? Doubter. Okay. How about Hitler? Evil, killer, murder, all those are all things. How about George Washington? George Washington, leader, what about a characteristic? Never told a lie. Honesty, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Honesty, is, that's one thing, you know. Yeah. But, in the, some of you don't probably have heard tales about this, but, when some of us grew up, the bathroom was not inside the house. You had to make a little trip. And it got to be that was always one of the great pranks that people play, particularly the area I grew up around Halloween. You wake up the next morning and everybody's house would be on the ground. I don't know why it caught on like that, but it did. And there was one young man who just wanted to participate, but he just couldn't. But one day he decided he would. He just got the courage and went out and he pushed over his own. And pretty soon his dad came in and he asked him, he said, did you push over our outhouse? And of course, he said, well, maybe it wasn't going to lie. He said, yes, I did. And his dad said, I'm going to whip you for it. And he said, but Dad, I told you the truth, just like George Washington told the truth when he chopped down the cherry tree. And his dad said, but George Washington wasn't in the cherry tree when he chopped it down. So, what do you think about when you hear the name of Yahweh? You know, the Bible has over 300 names of God. And that's because it's impossible to capture the full character of God with one attempt. For instance, in Genesis 22, he's called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. In Ezekiel 48, it is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. In Jeremiah 23, it is Jehovah Sidon. The Lord our righteousness. In Exodus 6, it's El Shaddai, that the Lord is sufficient. In Exodus 15, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. In Exodus 17, Jehovah Nissa, the Lord our victory. Judges 6, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. In Genesis 14, Jehovah Eliam, the Most High God, Yahweh. You know, this is the veracity of truth. It is the variety of love. He is the victory of grace. You know, it's honey to the taste. It's harmony to the ear. It's healing to the soul when we say the name of Yahweh. And so we see the declaration of the name, but let's look at the desecration of God's name. In verse 7 again, do not misuse my name. I am the Lord your God, and I will punish anyone who misuses my name. We live today in the midst of the most cursing generation of all of human history. Vile words are regularly added to a magnanimous list of things that you can say but shouldn't. You know, most people, even make many Christians, don't even think twice about using words like damn or hell in a frivolous way. And what a mockery, what a sad revelation about how worldly many Christians are today. And then there's that F-bomb, you know, the filthiest thing that you can say, and so considered the most powerful, most used by the scum of society. And some say it so much in all situations that they don't even know that they're saying it anymore. Others think that they're adding emphasis by using it. But I say, if what you are saying is so weak that you need to add such a word, you should revisit your real point and try to find something worthwhile to say in the first place. The A word is now commonly accepted on regular primetime TV, but it best describes the person who would stoop to use it. The S word is not far behind and further reveals what a potty mouth we have when we come to talking. Rap music is full of all of the above and so much more, and especially terms that are derogatory to women and full of racial slurs. The average R-rated movie has foul language every 32 seconds. PG-13 and most sitcoms average one every minute or two. And we allow that into our homes, and our kids don't have to hear these words from us because they hear it from the TV, and it makes it look like it's okay to them. Cursing used to be considered man language. You know, you'd hear someone say, "Watch your language, there's ladies present." But it's not just a man problem anymore. Young girls are not far detached from their dollies are saying things today that make a sailor blush. And as bad as all of this is, the most vulgar thing that you can do is speak the lovely name of Yahweh in a vain way. And if we took that more seriously, we would also think twice before saying other curse words. It's all about forming new habits and getting rid of old ones. When we curse, we reveal four things, I think. First, we reveal a lack of character. The Bible says our mouths speak what is abundant in our heart. What's down in the well comes up in the bucket. You can tell what a person is by what a person says. A great preacher yesteryear was Sam Jones, and he said, "When I get around a man who swears, I watch my pocketbook. For any man who would swear would surely steal." It reveals a lack of intelligence. When you have to use profanity to get your point across, you're revealing an empty head and a wicked heart. Profanity is the attempt of a feeble mind to express itself forcefully. A third thing is lack of understanding. Think about how foolish it is to use a curse word. Now, what does it get you? Now, with most sins, you at least get something in return, even pleasure for a season. Stealing is wrong, but at least you got something. Now, I'm not justifying sin, I'm just making a point here. If you have a flat tire and you curse, did you put air back in that tire? Now, if that hot air coming out of your mouth could go in the tire, of course, it'd be different. Can cursing unstub your toe? Can it make your golf ball move from the rough to the fairway? Can it fix your broken window? What do we earn by cursing? Only one thing: the judgment of Yahweh. Verse 7 says, "The Lord will not hold him guiltless." The fourth thing is lack of reverence and respect. A person takes God's name in vain and says, "Sorry, I didn't mean that." That's like saying, "You know, God is meaningless to me. I can use his name and not even mean it." Well, that's exactly what the word vain means. It means empty or meaningless. It's a lack of reverence to God and a lack of respect to the others around us. I don't think Christians should just overlook it, and we all do. We're so used to it that we don't hear it as much anymore when people say these things. We are to be lights in the world, bringing forth his name in purity and truth. We must reverently invoke God's name in worship and prayer with an attitude of fear and trembling. For it is a privilege even to have his name marked upon us. We are to take heed in our beliefs so that we do not misrepresent him and his name in theology. There is much involved in keeping his commandment and keeping his name holy. For God says, "I will not hold him guiltless who takes my name in vain." How guilty are we?